Tim, before we get underway, pardon me, Tim, for being a little self-indulgent. When I heard Michael Bradley was in play, I didn't believe it. I told these guys, I said on a live mic, I go, until I see Bradley sitting next to Tim at a podium, I will not believe this is happening. And if it happens, I will wear a TFC scarf for the better part of 3 hours here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan at 360.
Tim, my friend, we have got the man a scarf.
Oh, is he wearing it?
Oh, and it goes on as we speak.
It's going on right now, Tim.
Although, I think you'd rather a better looking man wearing the scarf. But
it's bringing out my eyes, Tim. It's bringing out my eyes. This happened. All right. All right, Tim, the floor is yours first. How did you do this?
Well, a lot of credit goes to our owners because this is financially, especially when Michael Bradley came up, a little unexpected, but it was just one of those opportunities where leaving the scarf aside, it was something we just could not do or could not afford not to do. So we went to them and said, this is more than we could ever ask, but here's what happens if we get him. Here's how good we can be. They didn't miss a beat. They said, go jump in, go get it done, and we did. So I think the first, having the resources that we have is the first thing. That helped immensely. But Michael, we caught him at the right place. He was not playing as much at Roma in the last month as he had been. Sometimes you just have to get a little lucky and time your introduction and your scarf in the right way. And on this one, we just caught them and Roma at the right time, and we were able to do it very quickly. Jermaine was over a period of 3 or 4 months. Michael was literally 2 weeks.
Any chance you want to divulge how much this cost you?
It doesn't cost me anything. unfortunately. It is a very large commitment from the owners, and I think it was something that we wanted to do because I think it sends a message to everyone. And I know coming here knew what our reputation was, but it was great that we, in one fell swoop, made it very clear to everyone that this is not an organization that is only concerned by the bottom line. We're very committed to winning, and we're not afraid to go jump in and spend whatever it takes when you have an opportunity to do something like we did today.
Did you have to prove that you were confident that you could make that back, that investment?
No, there's no way to make it back today. Now, if we renovate BMO and we expand it to 30,000 seats, then we got a chance down the road to make it work. But this one is going to take some time. So this was a leap of faith on behalf of ownership.
Interesting.
Tim Lywicki here on Tim and Sid. Tim, the Bradley, listen, with all due respect to Jermaine, I know Jermaine is the sizzle guy. I love me some Serie A. I know how good this guy is. You know how good this guy is. And with all due respect to my colleagues who were there today, I don't think they realized it. This is going to be your glue. I'm surprised. How many European clubs... You don't have to give me names. How many European clubs did you have to beat out for his signature?
Well, so like you, I love Michael Bradley. So does Tim B., our general manager, and Nelson, the coach. And the reason is fans here are in for a real treat. I don't know any player, especially from the United States, and I'm saying not just current, but ever, that has the work ethic of Michael Bradley. He is unbelievably tenacious. He's a fierce competitor. He's known for his very aggressive tackles, so a lot of players around the world always talk about how hard he is to play against. And I think he's going to be where Jermaine's going to be the personality, Michael's going to be the field general, and he will take control of the game for Ryan, and he will will us to winning games when in the past we didn't have that. There were probably a dozen teams that were sniffing on him, but there were six that we identified. Ironically, our friends at Tottenham helped me figure out what we were looking at, and they came back and gave us a lot of inside information on who they thought was also looking at him, what they thought he was worth. And so the relationship that we have with the chairman of Tottenham, Daniel Levy, really paid dividends on Michael Bradley as well because they gave us a good lay of the land. And we knew there were a half dozen clubs that had made serious offers to Roma, but to Michael's credit, he made it very clear he wanted to come to Toronto and only Toronto. And so I think they had one or two better offers than ours, but they wanted to help Michael get to the right place.
So based on what Daniel Levy and some of the guys at Tottenham Hotspur told you, do you think you got fair market? Did you get a deal? Did you have to overpay a little? How would you describe the contract?
I don't know. With the amount of money we just spent, I don't think deal would be the right term here.
Fair enough.
But we spent a lot of money, more money than has ever been spent by any club in the history of Major League Soccer. But I know people will sit there and question whether or not financially we made a sound business decision. What they need to understand is if you look in the competition of the rest of the world in football, that's what we were competing with. Is it very expensive and very aggressive for Major League Soccer standards? 100%. Is it an astronomical fee based on what goes on in the real world every day on the world stage in football? No, it's not.
When you say more money spent than any club in MLS history, are you including your former club in David Beckham's deal?
Yes. You know, there will never be a David Beckham again. He was a unique moment, a great brand, a great player, and the best ambassador I've ever seen for any sport. And I don't think we expect either of these two to have the name recognition or the brand awareness that David does. But these are players in their prime. Michael Bradley's 26 years old. Gilberto, the kid we bought from Brazil's 24 years old and was the sixth leading scorer in the entire league this year. And then Defoe just turned 31, and as the coach at Tottenham said, there's a lot of goals and a lot of years left in those legs. And so we paid a premium, and we did all three at one time. That's the big difference is when David came, it took us another 2 years to get Robbie Keane, which was the final piece of that team.
Right.
There's never been anything quite like this where you have three guys walk in, join a club, and they will play for us in March to begin the season. That's pretty remarkable.
Tim Lewicki, president, CEO of MLSC, joining us here on Tim and Sid. I guess the question is, did you feel a pressure from the years of ineptitude from this club that you may lose what was once the greatest fan base in the MLS?
Yes, I twofold. One, I think we owed it to these fans because they reinvented the game and the league when they came into Major League Soccer to begin with. And I definitely thought that the patient was on life support. And if we didn't find a way to reconnect and create an integrity in that relationship, I thought that those days would be gone forever. I think the other thing is we told everyone we were going to fix this team and we thought we were going to shoot for the playoffs and make the playoffs this year. I know everyone thought we were bold. We weren't being bold. We just had faith in the DP process. We also knew that Major League Soccer with DPs gave us a chance to fix TFC first. But I would tell the Raptors fans and the Leafs fans that this is a good day because what it proves is we are prepared to do whatever it takes to win. We've done that with Kessel. We've done that with Phaneuf. And we know we have work to do. It's not as easy or as quick a fix with the Leafs as it is with TFC because of the DP slots. But that said, I think everybody that's a sports fan ought to walk away today. And whether you love soccer or not, the message you ought to take from all of this is, well, this ownership group is going to do whatever they can to win now, and they're not just focused on the bottom line. They're focused on how do we get all three teams going at the same time.
Tim, obviously this is a World Cup year. If Defoe stays on the periphery of that English striker situation, he's going to Brazil. Bradley's probably going to Brazil, barring injury. That's 6 weeks without those two guys. And one of the real issues your new organization's had has been with these international breaks cramp up in the summer, TFC's left naked to the world because depth has been just appalling. There hasn't been the guys to fill in the spots. How much more work do you and Tim and the other guys in the front office still have to do to cover up? Because depth is still kind of a problem, isn't it?
Yes, and that's why we went out and got Dwayne to come back because he will absolutely help us with a little bit of depth. That's why we traded for Jackson, the midfielder, the attacking midfielder from Dallas, and that's why we went out and got Moro as well from San Jose. So we have some pieces that we've added in addition to these guys. It's certainly why we made a decision to get Gilberto at 24 who has been on the fringe of the World Cup and national team movement in Brazil, but is not part of the World Cup or the national team this year. So he won't go anywhere, which is good to have one of our strikers in place. We want Jermaine and we want Michael to go to the World Cup. It's an honor. The good news is the league is in a semi-shutdown mode during the World Cup, so we don't have as many games as we normally would. The games are compacted before and after. That said, we do have work to do. Funny, when the players got to my office today before the press conference, we were sitting down with the coach and Tim B talking about a trade that they're in the middle of. And so we still have work to do, but the great news is we got 3 first-round draft picks next year. We have allocation money. We have 2 or 3 players, including Laba, that we can move in a loan deal or a sale deal that are going to get us some chips. And for the first time ever, TFC actually has all kinds of chips that we could play with to go make another move or two to get some depth, and we plan on doing that between now and the beginning of the season in March.
The developmental deal with Tottenham, forgive me, Tim, I'm trying to remember for the press conference. Do you have a similar deal now with Roma?
Yeah, Roma's more of the development deal on players, so we have players going back and forth, and I think there's, you know, you can look into that and begin to understand that one of the solutions we may be looking at to fill another hole may come from Roma, and that would be a good assumption. Tottenham's about business, and so that's about the game and about their brand and doing camps and clinics and tours together, helping them with their new stadium in London. But it's not about sharing players. So the Roma deal, there's going to be more to come, including being able to send our academy players over to Roma and train with them for some period of time as well, and maybe finding another player with Roma that comes over and makes our parent club.
Tim Leiwicki joining us here on Tim and Sid. Not only did one of your teams have a Drake OVO night, but apparently he had a hand in Jermaine Defoe. Did he call Jermaine? Is he global ambassadoring 2 of your teams now?
It's funny. I asked Drake, does he know any good centers in the National Hockey League this summer? I don't want to play our hand and what we need. But
I'll take defenseman too, but hey, whatever. Yeah. Whatever you need, Tim. That's fine.
But he has been an unbelievable fan of anything good for Toronto. He got excited about what we were trying to do with soccer. So when we got Defoe, he was very helpful in developing a relationship with Jermaine, and it made a big difference. And then he got mad at me Saturday night when he figured out we did Bradley without him. So I think he took offense to that. But he's been a good friend. He's a big fan of all of our teams. He's been unbelievable with the basketball team. He's really excited about what Masai's doing and how well that team's done. And he loves the fact we're competing and not tanking. And on the soccer side, he wants us to build a global brand. And so he's bugging me already with who else we could go after. I'm trying to make him understand we're only allowed 3 DPs, so he can't understand why we can't expand that role.
You caught me with the he's excited we're not tanking. Has the position changed at all for the Toronto Raptors given this little run?
No, you know, Masai from day one, and by the way, I am just over the moon with the job that Masai is doing and how lucky we were to convince him to come here, because it's now paying huge dividends for that team. And from day one, what he said is we're going to let the players determine the course. And right now the players are determining the course, and the course is we're leading the Atlantic Division. We just beat Brooklyn the other night. Now we're 4 games ahead of them. And so I love what we're doing there. I love the way these players have responded. I love the way Kyle Lowry has taken over this team. I love how this town now suddenly, you know, our ratings have quadrupled in just a month. And he's going to let the players ultimately be the judge of whether or not we go for it or whether or not we go for a draft pick. And right now, leave there no doubt in anyone's mind, the players have made a decision. They want to win. They want to win the Atlantic. They want to be in the playoffs, and they want to cause some damage. If we win tonight, we will have the 3rd best record in the Atlantic, and I understand that it doesn't take much take much to win the Atlantic. But give them credit. We're competing against teams like the Knicks and Brooklyn that have gone out. There's no team that's ever spent the amount of money the Brooklyn Nets have spent this year on that team. And right now we're 4 games up. And so that's a real compliment and credit back to Masai and Coach Casey and the team and the job they've done. And we're having a great time with these guys and going to the games. It's a lot of fun. Just got to get the hockey team back in the playoffs.
Are you worried about your hockey team, Tim?
Every night. And, look, we're passionate. I honestly lose a lot of sleep. I would love it if we could get all of the teams going at the same time. We clearly have had good success this year with Masai on the basketball side, over the moon on the soccer side. Dave Nonis and I work every day. There's not a day that goes by I don't call him up and ask him what else we can do. But we got to be patient. What we will not do, I promise you, is we're not going to knee-jerk. We will not give away our good kids. We're not going to give away all of our draft picks. This is a long-term vision, and what we're not going to do is panic and do a bad deal by giving away a kid like Riley. I completely support Dave Nonis on that, and we got to be patient.
Based on the offseason you just had, Tim, I know what you're saying about the kids, but there was clearly an expectation to take another step this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of points on the table, so I'll give the guys the benefit of the doubt. But if we get to spring and the Leafs aren't part of that postseason, are some of the other members of the organization in a bit more trouble? And I'm not talking about the kids on the ice.
Now, you know, the only relationship I judge and the only guy that's accountable to me and that I am responsible for is Dave Nonis. And then it's up to Dave to have the accountability back to the coaches and the players. And that's the way we're going to run this organization. I'm not going to meddle. Dave Nonis isn't going anywhere. I extended his contract. He's my guy. I like working with him. I think we see the world the same way. And I know he has the best interests of this organization in his heart. And I think he's made good moves. So leave there no doubt where I cast my loyalty, which is to Dave. And I think he's doing a good job. We got work to do. This team, I think, can get better. I think if you look at the players that we have today, there's no question that we all think that we should be in a better position than we're in today. And I think what they need to do is take a deep breath, maybe relax a little bit, stop clutching the stick so tight, and understand, I don't think October was a fluke, and I think getting Bolin back will help this team. But I am 100% supportive of Dave Nonis, and that's his decision going forward as to where we're at with everyone else. And I think he spoke very loud and clear this weekend. The issue is not the coach. The issue is our players need to understand October wasn't a fluke. We got to get back to playing the way we were then.
Tim, given the fact, though, that Dave and you showing this kind of confidence in Dave and Dave extending the contracts of many of your key components to that team long term, put a certain amount of pressure on everyone involved, or at least a lot amount of pressure on everyone involved?
Yeah, and I like it. Okay. As you guys probably have figured out, we made some bold statements when I came here. Some of them are coming true, including with TFC. And
you know what, Tim? I didn't notice. I thought you were pretty low-key.
Yeah, quiet.
I didn't notice. Whatever. Hey, it's just talk.
How's that scarf around your neck? So, I don't think you could be great. I know people occasionally have taken a little offense to how bold we've been, and for that, I apologize. We're not trying to offend anybody. But I honestly don't know how you could be great if you don't aspire to be great and you don't set high standards and goals. We have high standards and goals for all of our organizations here, and we got to live up to them. I'm very proud of Masai and the job he's doing. I think the basketball team is ahead of where anyone thought they'd be at this point. I certainly think we made a bold statement today about where we want to go with the soccer team. I understand people are disappointed in the hockey team, but we have no less desire and no less passion and no less intensity for the hockey team than we do for the other teams. But we need to be patient. If people think we're going to freak out here and begin to trade away our good young kids to go get a 33-year-old veteran, they're wrong. He won't do it. I wouldn't want him to do it, and I'm completely supportive of his patience. We will get through this, and I think we will play better going forward. If there's a deal we can make that does not sell our soul, does not sell our good young kids, does not give up our good picks coming up, then he will do it, and we will be supportive. But we got to be patient. This organization in the past has had a bad track record of knee-jerking and doing deals that were Band-Aid deals and using good young assets. We won't do that anymore.
Tim, one final thing. You threw a lot of money at a team that has a fan base in the city, but as you said, from a money-making perspective, it's going to take more time. The day that Masai comes up to you and says, Tim, I want to go over the luxury tax, The day Dave Nonis comes up to you and says, Tim, this cap's going from 64.3 to 70 million. We need to be a cap team. I need two more defensemen. There are some fans in this city who maybe look at today, maybe, Tim, and think that's now under threat, considering how much money you just blew on the soccer team. What would you say to that?
It's exactly the opposite, Tim said, which is if I were a fan of any of our teams, I would understand very clearly now ownership and management just made a very big statement, which is we will do whatever it takes, including spending to the cap on any of our teams or spending luxury tax for Masai. And Masai and I, again, another very strong, good relationship. We see the world the same way. If there's a move he can make now that ultimately makes this team better and doesn't give up on any of our assets, then he not only has 100% of our support, we're not afraid of the luxury tax at the right time. He just needs to make a decision on when the right time is. So whether it's the hockey team and the commitments we made to Phaneuf and Kessel, whether it's the commitments we'll make as the cap goes up, we're always going to be a cap team in hockey. We get it. We're committed to that. We're okay with that. We're going to do the same with basketball. We're going to do the same with soccer. These owners have made it clear. Number one, win. And they've told me, and I asked them before I took the job, if I walk in the door and tell you we got to make a Beckham kind of move on soccer or a luxury tax kind of move on the Raptors or spend right to the cap on the hockey team, are you going to let me do what we got to do for our guys? And they said, absolutely. You have complete authority control, and we back you 100%. So Larry Tannenbaum, he was phenomenal on the soccer chase and was right there with me, as were Bell and Rogers. These owners want to win. We just have to do it the right way. Pissing away money isn't going to make any sense.
I think we could spend 3 hours talking to you, but I know that it's a busy day for you, so we'll stop at 20 minutes. Really appreciate the time.
Okay, for the record, that leaves you 2 hours and 40 minutes with the scarf on, and I'm going to check in later.
Tim, it's just warm. I'm just saying it's warm in here.
Yeah, it's scratchy.
It's a little scratchy, a little itchy.
We're going to get him to tie it soon.
Yeah, all right, maybe. Guys, thanks for giving us time. It's going to be a fun season. We'll see you guys in March out of BMO.